This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalist, the Magic Millions winners drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home in a second, but Capitalist takes it out. Capitalist by a half length.
Call 1353-53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Nice to have your company on this edition, this vital edition of Punter's Postmortem, the PPM after the Cox Plate, as we build up to a magnificent day, Derby Day, the greatest day of racing we have in this country with the four Group 1s. And the final big hit out too before the Emirates Melbourne Cup worth a staggering $6 million. And now day four of the carnival on Saturday week could be the biggest of them all if Winks, the record-breaking Cox Plate winner, actually goes round in the Emirates McKinnon Stakes over 2,000 metres. It's now worth $2 million. So the carnival certainly is stretching out to four magnificent days. As I say, good morning to Ronnie Duffacy. Hi, Ronnie.
Yeah, good morning, TK. I'm really looking forward to the next couple of weeks. It's my favourite time of year, Derby Day, and obviously the Melbourne Cup, an important day too, because at 10 o'clock this morning, we got the second declarations for the Melbourne Cup. I think a few people have been a bit shaky all week. I think Greg Carpenter was quoted as saying there was only 26 left after this morning. I'm told after paying up, I think it's $4,620 this morning that they got to pay for the second acceptance. There was 32 at 8:30 this morning. So that's looking promising to a certain extent. A few of them may shy on, you know, on the Saturday night when they've got to pay the extra, the 50,000. 49,500, I think it is, the last pay up. So could be a bit shaky for those 101 chances signing the cheque there, but it's going to be an amazing week.
Yeah, well, I always thought they paid down to 10th, they? And you basically get your...
Yeah, you've got to gamble on whether you think your horse can finish in the first 10 to pick up your prize money.
That's right.
And the ones that don't, well, they'll do their 50.
Yeah, exactly right. Or you just have enough money and you want to have a Melbourne Cup runner and you send it round. It is hard to imagine, but it will save us answering questions. It is hard to imagine that we might not have 24 runners, Glenn Munsey, at tab.com.au come the first Tuesday in November in the Melbourne Cup, and that will save us answering ad nauseum the question of why we don't have 24 runners plus emergencies in the Melbourne Cup.
I can't believe they don't do it every year, TK. yes, good morning to you. Good morning to
don't
Ronnie.
Don't start, okay?
Oh, yes.
Don't start.
Yes, or should, yes, definitely should have them for that one race every year. And the other thing is, yeah, Ronnie's getting ready for Melbourne. I don't know whether Melbourne's getting ready for you, TK. How many years a row is this for you down there in Melbourne with the Big Sports Breakfast?
Well, I don't know. I haven't missed a carnival in Melbourne since 89, since the Freedmans went terrific superimposed.
So I've made remembered it one since 2004.
Unfortunately, my darling daughter was born on November 2, so that's been a little bit of an impediment. But she goes, Dad, sometimes I think you think the Melbourne Carnival's more important than me. And I said, honey, don't go there.
Yeah, but I'll ring you on your birthday anyway.
That's right. It's just the way it is. Okay. We've got to make a living. Yeah, so since 1989... haven't missed one, so it's fantastic.
Yeah.
An honour to be there.
And this will be one of your first years you've worked at one.
Trying to avoid it if I possibly can.
Well, you've done a superior job in the last few years anyway. And sometimes you've been working there, but you haven't really remembered being working there.
He gets to work, though. He does get to work.
I will front up.
In any state.
I will front up. Dean Lester joins us. Hi, Dean.
Morning, TK.
What did you make of it, mate? It was beyond extraordinary.
Yeah, she put on a great show on Saturday, Winks, and geez, it was much required. It was a cold, miserable day there until she strutted her stuff, that's for sure. But she did that and did it magnificently.
The best you've seen?
Oh, it was as good a win as I've seen. It's up there with Might and Power's Caulfield Cup win for mine.
Yeah,
it was just such dominance and. She's great anywhere, as she's proven by winning so many on end. But to have that skill to get around the valley like that is such a great advantage.
Dino and listeners and boys, the early news is that she has pulled up well. That's early news. That would be a daily check, obviously, by Chris Waller, whether she goes forward or not.
She'll now, be in the lounge room, so it'd be easy to see her.
I'm tipping it's the first
she
one.
She might be in the bedroom. I don't know about the lounge room.
It's the first stable that he shoves his head in every morning when he's there. Then she may well go forward to the $2 million Emirates McKinnon, which is on that final day, which would just be... What a marketing machine that would be for the VRC for that final day, Dino.
Oh, it'd be amazing, and it would be justification for what they've done moving the McKinnon from Derby Day to final day. They'd get it back in 1 year.
Yeah. Dino, what'll happen on the final day? It's usually kids' day. They'll get trampled to death.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's worth
that's
another
not
30.
A nice thought, Mum, but you're probably right.
But they will. You know, the last few years of the Melbourne Carnival, Emirates Day has always been promoted as Family Day.
Yep.
At the end of the carnival, and you get every 13 and 14 year old kid in Melbourne dressing up as though they're 21, and they get to the races. But now it's going to be a reason for everyone to hold on to the last day.
Yeah. Oh well, they'll fit them in. Don't worry. It's just great. It will be great. Let's go through the Cox Plate. Dino, I'll start with you. Obviously, Winx, and then beat Hartnell, who's now the firming Melbourne Cup favourite.
Oh, I thought he ran really well. I think I think his form going in. My concern that people were giving him a chance of winning on Saturday was that it was at Randwick and Flemington, and he'll get back to Flemington tomorrow week and. There's nothing wrong with that as a cup trial. It would be as good a cup trial as, say, Efficient, Green Moon. Those horses have gone through the Cox Plate and gone on to win the Melbourne Cup. It certainly as good as any of those. So I would think he's right there.
Obviously, Hartnell. Geez, what a run by the three-year-old filly.
She was fantastic.
Yankee Rose.
Yankee Rose. She handled the day beautifully. She raced well. She's on the back of the right horses. They were too good for her, or Winx was, but she toughed it out really well. And now she becomes a very much deserved Oaks favourite. Now, that was a place in the Cox Plate usually means you'll just win the Oaks. We saw Samantha Miss do that, and Miss Finland should have placed in a Cox Plate, and she came out and won the Oaks in a canter. So she's in that category now.
Yeah. Obviously, Vladimos seemed to never really settle, was too keen.
Well, he bolted. His run was amazing to tough it out because he just took off from about the 1600. Mark Zahra was doing his best to just try and get him into some sort of rhythm, and in the end, he was losing the battle, so he just let him rip and then tried to ride a different sort of race, and he toughed it out well. He was very brave.
Which was fourth. Let's go down to Awesome Rock, and I think Stephen Baster made mention, Dino, that will improve dramatically on a firm track.
Yeah, the soft ground was certainly against him, and it maybe cost him running, say, third, because he ran a good race, but he's a much better horse on dry ground.
Happy Clapper?
Happy Clapper ran about where I think probably most thought, just around the, just behind the money.
Lucia?
I was disappointed with her.
I think entitled to be a little bit disappointed with Lucia Valentina getting a track to suit.
Yeah, the funny thing about her is I've always thought she'd be terrific at the Valley off the bends and really zip around the track, and Kieran McAvoy absolutely adamant that she just didn't go a yard at the Valley.
Okay.
So anyway, she'll go back to Flemington in a couple of weeks.
And might improve dramatically.
Well, she might, yeah.
Yeah. Haraki, Blackheart, Bart, Happy Trails.
Happy Trails, end of the road for him, I'd say.
Yeah.
Blackheart Bart, very surprised he was the leader going out of the straight. I think that trainer thought that maybe he'd be midfield. He was a bit bemused about how Blackheart Bart was ridden, and certainly it affected his position at the end. It didn't affect the result or anything, but it certainly, I think they were a bit disappointed there. And I just don't know if Haraki's very fond of Melbourne. He's a good horse, but he's just never really shown up down here.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Dunn's sort of saying better on top of the ground. So really, Ronnie, it's hard to go through. Well, there certainly were no unlucky runners.
No, there definitely was no unlucky runners.
Everyone got a fair crack.
Yeah.
And they're all good horses, but, geez, it was just it was one of those one-act affairs.
Simply supreme, simply supreme. Yeah. I thought Hartnell was...
Yeah, tell us about Hartnell. Tell us your
thoughts. Yeah, look, he was brave late. Once she you know, put the sword to him, and he was entitled to so throw the towel in. I'm still happy with him going into the Cup. Some people say she broke his heart there, but I don't know about that.
That's more a human thing than a horse thing, surely.
For sure, for sure. And look, I agree with Dino with Vadamos. You know, when Blackheart part, you know, went past him and put paid to him sort of thing, he was very brave there, considering the circumstances that he went through. He's obviously a miler, and I thought he was very, very good there, and it's all been said, really. Yankee Rose, you won't see a better trial, but the market's reacted to that.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to run an even money favourite. So,
okay. Glenn, simple. Can we have a look at the Melbourne Cup market for the first Tuesday in November at tab.com.au? Hartnell, pretty firm at 460.
Well, TK, straight after the Cox Plate on Saturday, the boys actually pushed it out.
Right.
Was $4.60 to $6, straight on the back of the Cox Plate.
Oh, really?
And Jamaica was the outright favourite on Saturday afternoon for the Melbourne Cup. Hmm. Now, since that point in time, the support for Hartnell has come forward. People have said, well, hang on, he runs second in the Cox Plate.
Exactly.
How's he going to drift in the Melbourne Cup market to be overtaken by the horse he panelled at his previous run, who then went on to win the Caulfield Cup?
So, who smashed him in the Caulfield Cup.
Yeah, so there's been a rejig there. Now, Hartnell back into favouritism. So, you know, people saying, oh, Hartnell's now favourite for the Melbourne Cup. Well, he was, then he wasn't, and now he is again. So he's $4.60 after being $6 on Saturday. Jamaica's now a $5.50 chance. Almandon at 10. Bondi Beach, Heartbreak City, 13. Big Orange, Exos, Ferric and Scottish, all 15. Our Moonkith, Grand Marshal, a big firmer on the back of Saturday, and Wicklow Brave all at 17. You've got the Japanese horse, Curran Miritic, is a $21 chance. The two horses out of Geelong, Oceanographer and Kiwi, are both $21 chances. Who Shot the Barman, who firmed after Saturday at 21. You've got Grey Line, will be ridden by Glenn Boss in the Melbourne Cup at 26. Our Ivanhoe will be equal top weight if it keeps going forward, a $26 chance, 35 and longer the rest.
Okay. Wicklow Brave, what are you hearing out of the quarantine station? Dina?
Had a fairly solid workout this morning. Not so much a speed workout, but I believe did maybe three laps and even did a bit of work out of the barriers as well. So, starting to crank him up. And Willie Mullins, this is his third go at it, so he's sort of maybe tinkering with what he's leading in.
He's got a good idea, Willie.
He's got a really good idea. I mean, he brought Simon on here and he did it through the Herbert Power and of course last year. Max Dynamite straight in and this horse straight in. But, I'm respecting him greatly.
He's the horse that beat that 10s-on favourite in the Irish...
Order of St George.
Yeah.
Who then ran third in the arc.
That's right. So he's got good quality form, hasn't
he? It's just... Dino, what do you make of the fact that I keep bringing up that only one European has only ever won the Melbourne Cup without having a run, not a win, but a run in Australia first?
Well,
it's a fact, isn't it?
It's a fact. Are they closer to the second time of it happening, or is the stat that big that you just wipe them? I think when Dermot Weld does it or Willie Mullins... those sort of guys, I respect them greatly.
Yeah.
I think Godolphin have proven that that's not their bag. I think this year they've shown that. The majority of their horses have already had a run. Mm. They've got a couple there that haven't, but the majority of them have.
Yeah, that's where... And Oceanographer and QE leading all the way to win that Geelong Cup. Oceanographer was that flashing third, doubtful of getting runs. Well, I don't think so anymore, Glenn. I'd say you're pretty assured that QE and Oceanographer are going to get runs.
Well, I think after the Geelong race, QE with the penalty went to about 28 or something like that, or may have been in the very low 30s. Well, if you look at what was above it, there was about half a dozen that you could have put the line through straight away. So we'll know a whole lot more this morning. Interesting to hear Ronnie say earlier that at 8:30 there was 30-odd when they were very, very
32.
Concerned. Yeah, 32, concerned about how many they were going to get. I still think the mystique of the Melbourne Cup will let you keep paying up. Dino, do you still get the chance if you pay up and you don't get in the field and say you're running the Queen Elizabeth, you get that chance for that bonus?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's another chance to stay there, albeit, Ronnie, you've got to pay the money.
Yeah.
But you can run in the repechage charge for one
and
of the better
terms. You get $100,000 extra.
So you're going to get your money back that way.
So you have an evens on yourself there.
Evens yourself. You're 300 to 1 to win the Melbourne Cup and take evens yourself in the Queen Elizabeth, three, 5 days later.
And here's one Dino asked this morning. to me, and I didn't quite know the answer, because the McKinnon used to qualify for the Melbourne Cup, correct?
First, yeah, the winner was exempt from the ballot.
So what happens now with the McKinnon being on this? Obviously, does it qualify for the Melbourne Cup next year,
no,
is what I'm asking?
No. It's okay. Like the Cox Plate. The Cox Plate winner of the year is exempt from the ballot for the but because they're not over the distance range, it's just because it's an immediate form line.
Okay.
So the McKinnon has no relevance now to the Melbourne Cup whatsoever.
Yep.
So it's purely the Lexus now.
Mm. And Huey Bowman joined us earlier this morning on the Big Sports Breakfast. He said, look, given the right conditions of a Melbourne Cup, Winks could win a Melbourne Cup. Obviously, it's all hypothetical, Dino. Do you think she could?
Oh, I think as a four-year-old with not too much weight, she probably would have because she's class and she relaxes.
Great asset.
He said the year protectionist won, but he said definitely last year.
Oh, last year she'd have won. Yeah, and that's right. She's if she was in a Melbourne Cup, she'd be like saintly. She'd just be too good.
Yeah, class.
And relax, whereas So You Think was too good, but he just didn't relax.
Yeah.
If he'd relaxed, he'd have won his Melbourne Cup.
Mm.
I thought it was very interesting, TK, when Huey sort of let slip during that interview, he said, I told some people very, very close to me to expect something very special on Saturday.
Yes.
So, you know, Huey went in pretty confident, but not thinking it was going to be as big as it was.
Yeah, well, the other big thing for me to come out of the weekend, and I just thought it was all fantastic theatre, Dino, but, you know, J-Mac, and you would have been there when he came back to scale, James McDonald, and he sort of said, he was still sort of giggling in disbelief.
He was laughing.
He sort of said, she was travelling, but we were travelling. You know, like, and I just think, you know, he thought, just hats off, really.
Yeah, I just through the race, and I don't know on TV what the camera angles were, but watching the big screen, I had sort of flashbacks of other Cox Plates at about the 800 they came together, and it was a bit Bone Crusher, Waverly Star. But when down the side, you saw Hartnell going well, but Winks was sort of in his shadow, so you couldn't see Huey Bowman. And then when he appeared, it was like when Glenn Boss appeared on Maccabi Diva. He was still hard on the bit.
Correct.
He hadn't moved.
And it was very Diva-like in that. Remember the Diva could sort of pick up between the 6 and the 4, or maybe the 8 and the 6, put herself right in there without even looking like she was accelerating, but then she'd pick up like 6 or 10 spots.
She was just in the race.
Well, within her Cox Plate, when she went, everyone went.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was like someone had just said, uh-oh, we've got to get
going.
Rang
a bell, we've got to go.
Now, Dino, another thing, I reckon it slipped through here, the announcement of the change for Moonee Valley.
Is it 2020?
That they are going to reconfigure the race course. Is that correct?
Well, they're confident. I still don't think they've got complete council approval yet.
Don't they need to sell land and then?
They do have to sell land. Like where, if you're familiar with Moonee Valley now, where the horse stalls are would be all units. Would be all a high rise. The grandstand would be down the side. Where they made their runs, so that would be the home straight.
So they would have been running into a headwind.
They would have been running into a... No, it was cross them from the left down the side there. It was hitting the horses on the inside, you could see it. And then up the straight it was a headwind, but the straight's not very long. But it was affecting those on the inside down the side.
Mm.
You're an historian to a certain extent. How does she sit with the champions?
She sits very, very highly.
What's in front of her?
Well,
in your way of thinking.
Oh, they've all got their great assets, and
they're all a bit different.
They're all a bit different, but she's got she's just got that ability that she can win left and right handed, wet and dry. You know, 1200 up to 2000, so or 2200 so far. I've heard other people say she's got to travel. She doesn't have to travel.
She's won handicaps and weight for age.
She's won handicaps, weight for age. I think with the Cox Plate at $3 million and the Queen Elizabeth at $4 million, she's got two races a year for $7 million for the next
That's right.
The next two Queen Elizabeths and at least one Cox Plate.
Yeah.
So there's $10 million in prize, or $11 million in prize money in just three races.
Yeah. And Huey made the point earlier, too. As much as you'd love to go over there and have a win at Royal Ascot and win the Arc and winning Dubai, I mean, it takes you away for a year. And
I
think if you did the old risk and reward profile, Dino, I don't think the rewards equal the risk.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And we all want to see another horse equal Kingston Town, I think, anyway, and win three Cox Plates.
Mm.
And we had that taken away from us with So You Think Going Overseas. And I just dragged Sunline's form out yesterday. And after she won the Cox Plate in 2000, so she'd won two Cox Plates, she went back to New Zealand on the 25th of November and won. Then she won in Hong Kong. Then she went back to New Zealand and won in February.
Wow.
Won at Warwick Farm in March. Jeez. Ran third at Dubai on the 24th of March.
Wow.
21st of April, she ran at Randwick and ran third in the all-aged. And then she was back for her spring campaign. Ooh. Now, was that the ideal preparation for her to try and win a third Cox Plate?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
It was a fantastic preparation.
Yes.
And she still ran second in the Cox Plate. I think this is just so achievable if they manage it right, which they will. Chris Waller will put the horse first, and I think she'll win the third Cox Plate.
Good on you.
Is the Manikado Stakes in a good place on that Friday night, and is that meeting in a good place on Friday night?
No. It's a shame Moonee Valley don't get 2 days of a carnival. Yeah, Caulfield have got three, Flemington have got four.
Mm.
They want their piece of spring carnival action, but it's not the right place. And some of my best Cox Plate memories are all about the sprint race on Cox Plate Day, which was the Moya, now the Manikado.
Yep.
Think of Manikado breaking the million the day Kingston Town won his third Cox Plate. The two times Black Caviar race there, Apache Cat bursting up the fence. They were fantastic races. And I just think that Cox Plate would be so much richer for that sprint race being on there and no Friday night.
Yep. No
I
doubt.
Think, I think that's a, you know, but it's a, you know, I understand what the Valley are trying to do for their revenue, but I think that they're taking away from the spectacle.
Okay, we'll take everyone's feedback on that. 13 53 53. We're going to open up the lines to our panel of experts for all our listeners on 13 53 53. Don't forget the text messages 0419 767 272.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Let's get straight to the open line. Our panel of experts are listening to Mark. Hi, Mark.
Oh, g'day, fellas. How's things?
Well, thanks.
Look, I've just heard a rumour that Peter Moody will be returning to training and will become the head trainer for a large establishment. Have you heard anything?
Dean?
No, I haven't. No.
He was a very happy owner on the
weekend.
He's
enjoying being an owner and just, without a lot of pressures at the moment.
Mark, my indication is that he will eventually get back to training, but his preference was to be not as big as he once was.
I heard he was taking over a large establishment.
Yeah. Well, look,
racecourse rumours are a dime a dozen.
Hey, Mark, these things change all the time.
Oh, of course they do, but it's just that I got it from a pretty good source.
Oh, sure. I'm saying is
and that's been around for about 3 months.
That has, yeah.
He'd have to reapply for a licence because he handed it in.
After Saturday, I don't think he'd like to be training in the autumn for the Oaks there after seeing that
David Bride,
that nurse kitchen win there on Saturday.
What about
her? I don't care what she does for the rest of her career, really. She's done her job.
Well done.
Mark, anything else? Or that was...
No, that was it. Okay. No, thanks very much.
Good on you, mate. I think Pete's indication was he'd like to train again, but maybe not with the pressure of having so many horses in a massive stable. But That does change, so we will watch this space. 13 53 53. What about Nurse Kitchen? Really, really good filly. Jumped out of the ground. The last 100, Dino, owned by Pete Moody. Maybe go forward to the Wakefield.
I won't. I don't think she'd have time because
she's in the paddock.
She's in the paddock. Okay.
Yeah, I think the Oaks in the autumn, whether it be Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane, I think one of them beckons for her. They bred her and they're. Look, she was very unlucky at her first run, and she had to jump from 12 to 1600 on Saturday, and that was a terrific win. In saying that, Suzanne was outstanding as well. She got up high on the track and probably away from the wind and all those sort of things. She ran very well, but it was a big effort for her to win it, just her third start in Nurse Kitchen.
I got Suzanne Never on the track. Was a bit of a hard luck story to me. 20 wide.
Didn't get a card into it, did she? She just had to do it all herself.
Good
run.
Fantastic run. Really good run. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Good morning. Ron there, is he?
Yes, Steve.
G'day, Ron. How are you, mate?
Good, pal.
I want to just state a couple, just if you don't mind, a couple of things. One, I'll be pretty quick. Over the years and present day, well, over the years, we've had champion sprinters. We've got now a champion racehorse again. Now, I've been backing them for 40-odd years, and it goes in with Might and Power, Kingston Town, Superimpose, this horse now, as champion racehorses. But what I want to say is we've got champion horses and champion sprinters. These champion horses are the ones that can win over journeys and meet top opposition at their pet distances. And this is what this one's doing.
Correct.
He's actually
well stated.
All varying distances.
Well, nice to hear from you, Steve, because you're a hard marker, but nice to hear that coming from you.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for putting up with me.
You're okay. No, I think he sort of stated that well. I've got one here I just wanted to address. Has everybody forgotten Black Caviar? 25 unbeaten starts.
We'll never forget it.
Wake up, you Sydney bias. John, John, it's nothing to do with that. I mean, I was just amazed every time I watched Black Caviar. But what we're talking about is a champion sprinter against a horse that has won at 1,200 up to 2,000 metres with a record-breaking victory in a Cox Plate.
Yeah.
Against a champion sprinter. But, geez, I think we all cheered as loud as anybody when Black Caviar kept winning.
Well, you're only allowed to have one champion, are you?
Yeah.
Well, is there a restriction on it now?
No. I don't, yeah. But,
and the thing is that other than the Golden Slipper, our iconic races are 1,600 and beyond, and Winx is winning them. So that's why she gets the spotlight.
That's right.
But Black Caviar took sprinting to a different dimension.
And apart from, that's why every trainer wants to stretch their horses out if they're good enough, because the prize money keeps going up and up and up, apart from the slipper, the further you go.
Well, I was talking to Peter Moody about this on Saturday, because Winx on Saturday just went past Black Caviar.
$9.3 million, I think.
In the order of Australian prize money earners. And as he said, in one preparation, Manigar, and I'm quoting verbatim, who was equivalent to being a hurdler, won three-quarters of the money that Black Caviar won in her career in one preparation when he won the BMW, the Randvet, the Australian Cup, that preparation. Now, it was a good preparation, but that shows you, if you're in that middle distance category, how much money you can win very quickly.
Yep, and that's why you often hear, will he or she get a mile? You know, will she get 1,400? Will she get a mile? Because you understand those iconic races are very much at that. Let's get to the open line again. Hi, Ralph. Good morning, buddy.
G'day, how you going?
Well, thanks, mate.
Mate, could I just get Dean, and I'm pretty sure Ron's pretty keen on Hartnell, but what Dean's opinion is, like watching Hartnell put a space on Jamaica in the Underwood, and then she coming out at handicap in the Caulfield Cup, I just don't think she could come back and beat him at the weight. And I'm pretty keen. I know Ron sounds like he's pretty keen. What does Dean think?
Yeah, I agree. Well, she's worse off at the weights for being smashed by him in the Turnbull. So he's got a two-mile win to his credit. Last year was a non-event, and he probably wasn't going as well. So, no, there's plenty to like.
I think where the angle is, where people are going to pose him, is the last two, the two Australian two-mile runs. Obviously, last year's Melbourne Cup.
Sydney Cup, he was too keen and pulled up with a problem.
It's a different horse now, though, Ronnie.
But people are still looking at that.
Yeah.
And that's what they're saying. That's the gamble. That's the gamble. So, look.
I'm happy to give him a clean slate, personally.
I am. I'm with him.
I don't think anyone from Godolphin was disappointed with what happened. Well, I mean, of course, they would love to have won the Cox Plate. But
looks to be a bit of pressure in this cup. Just I did been doing a bit of form last week, and there's a lot more go forward horses this year.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there was one last year. He just went too slow, and that's Big Orange.
Yeah.
If Big Orange had rolled along like he does in Europe, it would have been a lot different race. But he just decided to go way too slow.
Glenn, let's have a look at the Victoria Derby if we can at tab.com.au. Currently, Sacred Elixir was quite brilliant on the weekend. But what I'm going to ask the panel is, again, we get to this debate on the Victoria Derby. Will it be the brilliant horse that wins, or the dour type? Huey was quite happy with, or more than happy with, and looking forward to riding Sosie Bourne.
Yeah, well, Sacred Elixir, the 3.20 favourite. Now, before Saturday, I think you'll find he was around about a $9 mark in the Derby before he ran. I'll just check that for you as I scroll down to the bottom of my page here.
Well, he came out one brilliantly, then he had a bad run, didn't he?
He was an $8 chance before he ran on Saturday. They made him straight after the race a $4.20 chance. Wow. He is now a $3.20 chance in the Derby. Sosie Bourne on the second line there at 7. Good Standing and Rocketeer, 8 a pair. Inference at 10. Prized Icon and Swear at 11. Beach Life and Tumultuous, 13. Captain Duffy, of course, coming out of the, what's it, Geelong, well, I still call it the Geelong Trial.
Derby Trial, isn't it?
During the week. It's the Geelong Classic, I think it's called now, isn't it? It's a $15 chance. Kent's at 15 as well. Highlad and Morvada, both $17. Belladero and Winebush, the stablemates at 21. 26 is All About Love, Hollywood Mo and Retaliation.
Okay. Was this a staying test, Dino, the last? Was that a staying test? It didn't look to be a staying test.
No. Well, they strung out. And it was the optical illusion. They went really slow.
Well, Mavada told you that.
Because they were saying it was a big, strong tempo. And
No, they ran 4.5 seconds slower than Winx. And well below benchmark and things like that. It was, I think, an ideal hit out. 2,000-metre gallop for those horses. The winner was good. The winner was good. Sosie Bourne was good. He's worrying me that he'll lose the plot in the 10 minutes before the Derby. Sosie Bourne. It was bitterly cold there. He was sweating freely, and his behaviour's actually getting worse pre-race the further he gets into a preparation. And that's a bit of a worry for me. Sacred Elixir has been trained beautifully. He looks magnificent. Mm. Everything's probably right with him.
Swear?
Yeah, he interests me a lot.
Yeah, he's just the unknown of Melbourne there.
$11.
Yeah, I think he
could be it. Good run last start.
Who's riding Winebush? Obviously, Huey's got off.
Well, Huey told me Sosie Bourne.
I know he's riding Sosie Bourne, but I just think back to Flemington, he'll improve.
Maybe he's not pressing on, but I would have thought if he was running, there'd be the Waller Bowman connection there.
You'd think so. I think there's a couple that will improve, whether they're good enough to win. That's him and Kent, back to Flemington.
I posed that to John O'Shea last Friday, Kent. Mm-hmm. I did fess up. I put my hand up and I said I had something on him last start. Should I have been disappointed? Can he win the Derby? He was a little bit lukewarm.
I read there he's Godolphin's only runner in the Derby, so he's running.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe he just didn't want you on side.
No, exactly.
He said prior experience. You were on it. He was on
fire.
He's been
there and done that.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping for something a little bit more positive, but maybe he was just giving me the big brush off.
Go elsewhere, mate.
He went from on fire to lukewarm. When he hung the phone up, he was ice cold.
Maybe you're right, guys. Here we go. Let's get back to the open line. God, I'm lucky I can take her. Take a joke.
Thanks, well, you know.
Better than Michael Checker. Let's get to the open line. Hello, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning, gents.
Morning.
Just about the race at Mooney Valley on the Friday night before the Cox Plate.
Yep.
Look, the last 2 years, I consider that I've served up a goat track at Mooney Valley on Cox Plate there. Now, I'm thinking, this is particularly to Dean, why can't they race at Sandown on the Friday night? Sandown, to me, is quite a good track, and it's underutilised.
Well, it's not part of the Mooney Valley Club, and it doesn't have lights, and there's a lot of reasons why.
Out of town.
It's not even, this time of year, it's under a renovation because it races through winter, so it's not.
No moral to get through a meeting there anyway.
No, especially on Lakeside. That's not an option. I'd dispute, last year was a terrible track. I would say Saturday was a lot to do with the wind, and the jockeys were the ones that were very quick to latch onto that. Because when they were walking it, coming in before the first, they said, track's not that bad. You know, it's going to hold up for a fair bit of the day on the inside. Mm. They rode one race and they said, God, that wind's hitting you on the side from, you know, around the 600 bend home if you're on the inside. So those horses 3 and 4 wide were getting sheltered by the horses on the inside.
Okay, hopefully that answers your question, Paul. Let's go to Fireman Jim. Hi, Fireman Jim.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Well, thank you.
That's good. Just a quick call, mate. I've got couple of shares in horses, and I found a jockey for everyone to follow, a young girl called Rachel Murray. I'm sure Ronnie Duffus has seen her.
Yeah, she's a good girl. No, she rides well.
The other thing is, we had a share in horse, and we went to the races the other day, Musselbrook. Anyway, we had two horses in, one won, one ran second. Good. And we're all sitting there as happy as Larry and cheering the jockey on, and then we found out that Rachel got fined $300 for three extra hits in the last from the 400 to the 200.
Right.
And we won by a short half head. And then the it's to the discretion. I just want to ask Ronnie, as a jockey, how the hell are you supposed to balance, count, watch what you're doing, and know exactly how many hits you've hit?
Yeah, well, that's the rules, and they look. I know it's difficult, but that's the rules in place at the moment. I think they may be under the review
They're
at the moment.
They're under review at the moment.
Yeah, so
she'll learn.
Yeah, just send her 300, Jim. Just send her 300.
Well, surely
she's got it home for you.
Hey, Jim, surely you're spotting at the three.
It's gone quiet with
that. Well, as a punter, I was so happy, and it was just terrible to see. I just don't understand, like. People can't drive a car with one thing and do it, trying to concentrate on one thing. They're trying to concentrate on three or four things.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't hit it and we don't win, where do we stand there? Like, does she get fined for not hitting it?
Well, you can't tell me the two extra hits was the difference.
That's what they're saying.
I think she'll be able to cover the 300 fines. She rode a winner yesterday at Scone in five rides. She rode a double at Armidale on Saturday rides. She rode a treble at Musselbrook. Last week, so she's definitely informed.
As long as she wasn't texting when she was riding as well, that was good.
Yeah, she's at Coonabarabran today if you want to have a bet.
It's Jim, look, those rules are under review at the moment, so we'll see what happens.
Well done, Fireman Jim. Sounds like you're having a pretty good run at the moment. I hope that continues with your horses. We are taking calls on punters post-mortem as we build up to the four group ones on Victoria Derby Day. Hi, John. Good morning.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, John.
I'm not really a punter, right? So I normally just watch the races of a Saturday when the big meetings are on.
Yep.
And I just noticed on Saturday that on Channel 7 they were giving this, Matt Campbell was giving these market movers, right?
Yep.
And not one of the ones, right, races I watched, did any of these market movers win.
That's why you should listen to boys at tab.com.au. Yeah,
we're on fire with the market movers on Saturday at Randwick, Kembla Grange and Eagle Farm.
So why are these things winning if they're supposed to be people putting their money on them?
Well, if it was all that simple, John, we'd all be winning.
Mm. Mate, the market movers are – well, my way that I attack the market movers, right, is the horse that is firmed up in the betting from its original quote and you've got a situation – now, people look at me and they say, well, how could you make this the market mover? On the day of the races, it's $2.80 to $3.20. Yes. But at 8 o'clock on Saturday morning was a $4 chance.
Yeah.
On Thursday afternoon, it was a $6 chance.
So it evens,
on Wednesday, it was
out.
An $8 chance.
Mm. And you look at your computer and it's taken out half a million.
Mm. And you'll notice that the races, horses that have firmed dramatically from the Wednesday through to the Saturday morning, will go up shorter first thing at the races because the bookies know there's been money for them all throughout the week. And say it's $4 to $3 in the morning on Saturday morning after it's $6 and $8. It'll go up $2.60 at the races.
Yeah.
And next minute it's $2.60 to $3.20 and someone will say, oh, it's a drifter, it can't win. Hang on. No, it was $4 to $3.20 before these bookies put their markets up. So you've got to look at it in the big picture, not actually what happens on the day of the races. Now, Winx was as much as odds against when they did the barrier draw on Tuesday morning. She ran $1.75. Everyone kept telling you, oh, this will be a great betting race. You couldn't write Hartnell's name from Wednesday through to Saturday. Hartnell was going to run a $2.80 chance, people wanted to tell me, and Winx was going to run $2.50. This is when they were $2.10.
I wish.
Was it Christmas?
And $3. They ran $1.75 and $5.
Yep.
And he got to $5.50.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, let's keep taking calls. Hopefully that answers you. I do like horses firming, particularly late. Gary, good morning to you.
Hello, boys. I just want to speak to Dino about it's a human thing, broken heart. There was Saintly, Nothing Like a Day in Falante, Octagonal. There was a race in Melbourne, Nothing Like a Day was leading, and Saintly bolted into that day. And I think it got a broken spirit and it didn't recover, nothing like a day that day. So if you have a look at that race, I think it can happen with horses.
I think you have a look at his preparation and he went from 1,400 to 2,000 and that's what broke him. I'm really confident of that. I think that was it was asked too much of second up that day.
Gary?
What was the name of the race?
Australian Cup. It was the Australian Cup.
Yeah, that's right. The Australian
Saintly
Cup.
Had had two runs in and nothing like a Dane had won the 1,400 with the Hobartville, beat Octagonal and came straight down to the 2,000, rode the speed, got run over and he was never the same horse again.
Jeez, you've got a good memory.
True. I think if you look at that race, he looked across, he was bleeding nothing like a Dane. He kept going. And you could be right from seven furlongs up to 10, whatever, but I think he broke his spirit.
We'll never know, and no, I was surmising, no. But I thought that Hartnell didn't run fifth. He ran second. He fought on and beat the others. What you're saying about nothing like a Dane is that he dropped out and ran, he ran fourth or fifth in that Australian Cup, and I'm blaming it on the preparation. You're blaming it that he got a broken heart.
Yeah.
We'll never know, but I think Hartnell showed a lot more fight, and that I don't think he's done just yet.
It's good on you, Gary. I err with Gary a little bit, not about that particular. So I think horses can end up with a broken heart, but yeah, we'll never know.
But I think it's what the humans put them through.
What the humans put them through? Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's if it's you know. It's not when they run second, it's when they run sixth or seventh and they're really, yeah, their tongues are hanging out. Look, he was well beaten on Saturday, but he still beat the best.
I'm not talking about Hartnell. I'm just talking about...
Oh, it can happen, but yeah. I don't think
we'll
Saturday
never know.
Will...
We don't know, do we?
A lot of people will tell you when a horse goes for a spell, you don't want a horse going for a spell when it's had...
When they're bottomed out.
You want them to go out either in form or... You've got the opinion that it can't go any better.
Yeah.
Because if it goes to the well again and flattens out, it's going to take a lot more to recover.
I'll tell you what, we're not short of here. Theories. Mm. We love them. 13:53:53.
It broke my heart, Lonro, the day that it got up and beat Gil Vale.
I wonder about when Sunline won it.
No. Sunline was all right. Normally it was good.
Just tell everybody, there's a very, very good reason why Dean Lester has a lot better memory than Ronnie Duffercy. It's called Shiraz. Not the racehorse.
What about Chardonnay?
And Chardonnay.
No, that was 20 years ago, so I've got no problem with that. If you ask me what happened last week, I can't remember a thing.
I know the feeling, mate. No, exactly. Let's keep taking some calls. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Love the show. Just a quick question regarding the big bets. Sky Racing always show the big bets in pink on the left-hand side. What do you guys consider a big bet? Because some guys put someone like a millionaire would put $1,000 bet on his horse. To me, that's not considered a big bet to me.
Yeah, but we don't. Well,
financials.
Yeah. There is a scale that is used there. Basically, any bet over a certain amount is classified as a big bet. Now, 1,000 on an even money chance and 1,000 on a 25-to-1 chance is classified as the same because it's a bet of 1,000. But you wouldn't put the 1,000 at an even money. You'd put the 1,000 at the $26.
Yeah.
Sean, it's all got to do with the value of the bet.
Sean, we can't survey a bloke having $1 on something. If he's only got a dollar, that's a lot bigger bet than some bloke having $10,000 on something if he's worth a million.
Yeah, but right? If Jerry Harvey's putting $1,000
Yeah, but you can't qualify that, Sean. How do you want us to qualify it?
But as I just said, we're not scrutinising who's having the bet.
Just put their name next to it.
We're putting out how much the bet is.
And their tax file.
Yeah. Good on you, Sean.
Then we know it's a big bet. And just one last thing. How does Tony Brassel still have a job? He just baffles me.
He's one of the best judges going around. That's probably got one main reason
I can tell
why he's
you
still
what,
got a job.
I think we've all found out a long time ago there's not a lot of bonuses in being a tipster.
No way.
And a form analyst, because it's all based on opinion. And you can have your own, Sean.
I dodged that Annette this morning.
I'm
glad I was on the right side of her.
I was just saying as slats off air, I really enjoyed Tubby Taylor's commentary. And then Annette's basically our
she's
next
She's given
caller.
It to everyone.
She's just given it to Tubby.
Really?
You can't please all of the people all of the time.
Well, that's I know. Just some of the time would be nice. Robbo, quickly,
like
buddy.
Marriage.
Very quickly. Happy birthday, TK.
Thanks very much, Robbo.
30 and 240 months. Well done.
Thank you.
Very, very quick comment on James McDonald, the beaten jockey from Hartnell. Mate, when they all put the microphones in front of him, I dead set felt he wanted to be say the same things as the mayor of Hiroshima.
Right. Thank you very much, Robbo. I thought he was just blown away by the performance of Winks, and his comments were telling. One, two, follow, please, Dino, preferably for the derby if you can, mate. I know it's early.
For the derby, I think I'll be with Sacred Elixir for the derby.
Yeah.
But if in Cup Week, I think we can make some money out of Janot if she runs in something.
Janot.
Paul Perry's horse.
Yeah, Paul Perry's, maybe Oaks Day.
Okay.
There might be something for her. She looked well and she was strong late. Ran well.
Put that in your black book. Ronnie, what's in yours?
Yeah, look, I'm for the derby, I'm at this stage, I'm Sacred Elixir with the Saver on Swear.
Yep.
And I want to give a couple of horses another chance out of Saturday, one from Sydney and one from Melbourne. The one from Melbourne would be Cezanne.
Yes.
And the one from Sydney, I wouldn't mind specking Happy Hannah maybe in a race like the Matriarch or
she's heading down for that, I think.
Well, I think so.
Yeah, Happy Hannah. Yeah, it was a good run. Very good run. And Glenn, one for the derby, one to follow?
No, leave me out of the derby at the moment.
Okay,
I'm just, actually,
no worries.
TK, if you want to know, I'm just writing down the markets for next year's Caulfield Cup.
Oh, my God.
Out of Randwick, I liked Luna Duchess out of the Tab Highway. I like to pick the eyes out of these ones that can go back into the bush. It's still only a class one horse, Luna Duchess.
Okay.
And ran in a class three on Saturday.
It'll run $1.30 in a class one in the bush.
It'll come back. It can come back to a Tab Highway, and I think they erred not going forward on it. When it won at Dubbo, its first run race, they used all its natural speed. Its next two runs, they've tried to hold it up. I know it drew a wide alley at Wagga, but they haven't used its natural speed, and I don't think it's been anywhere near as effective, although it's still run good both times.
Good on you. Well done. Thank you very much. Dino, look forward to hopefully catching up down there over the carnival, which would be great. I'll come down and say hello for sure. Ronnie, as always, mate, a pleasure. And Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. That is Punters Post Mortem for this Monday morning.